Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire podcast is being aired and recorded for June the, gee whiz, the 9th, 2024. June already. Wow. It's really going fast. I'm in the midst of Kay's question about my background and how I came to be a teacher, that whole thing. And this will be the last one in that series. I'm sure some of you are just really grateful for that. I understand. I do. I really do. But I owe this to Kay, and I want to thank her for her kind interest. She wanted to know why Unity, why I went into Unity. When I was a kid, I did not feel as a kid. Let me explain the age there. This started at about 8 years old. I wanted to go to church, and I told my parents, I want to go to church. I had to find something, and I was looking for something. I felt this deep inner pull to the inner part of myself. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to express it. I didn't know where I was going to go with it. I had absolutely no idea. I had no idea. So we went to a couple of churches. They were horrible, just horrible, horrible. I remember once going when I must have been 3 or 4, and I don't know where they took me, but they took me to some church, and I just screamed and yelled. I just couldn't handle it. And they never took me back. But finally, you know, I say to them, somewhere around the ages of 6 to 7 years old, I want to go to church. So my mother took me, I don't know why or how, to Unity. And I loved it. Wendell Mixon was the minister in San Diego. I loved him dearly. For some reason, his son and I attached to each other. We were good friends. And he would come over to the house and have dinner with us, spend the day. It was fun. What I loved about Unity, even then, it was, lo and behold, making connections with people that I would have for the rest of my life. And I got very active in Unity. I went to, you know, YOU Youth of Unity and went back to Missouri and did retreats there and things like that. I was very, very much involved. And what I liked about it was there was no frightening thing going on. But one of the major reasons was I had gone to see Ben-Hur. And when I went to see Ben-Hur, I had no idea it was a birthday. I think I was somewhere around 11 years old or something. I remember going into the theater with some friends, and we were going to watch this. Everybody talked about the race, the chariot race, and that was not of interest to me at all. I didn't know really why I was there. But when the music started to play after the beginning of it, and there was this fanfare, for some reason, and I can't explain it to you, Kay, for some reason, something happened inside me. Something clicked. And for all intents and purposes, I was now feeling something I had always known was there, but I didn't know what it would do. It forced me, I swear to you, to stand up at the fanfare in the middle of the, or in the beginning of the movie. I just stood up. I was drawn to it. I was taken to it. I had found something that I had been looking for. And I can't explain to you why. It was the majesty of the music. It was the whole idea that there was God. There was something beyond what Gregory Edward Penn could understand. But it enveloped him. It was the core of him. It was the goodness of him. It gave me a sense, I think, at that time, of identity. Not hope. Beyond hope, identity. And I just stood up, and everybody's telling me, sit down, you know, sit down. I couldn't sit down. I tried, but I couldn't. It was like something had grabbed me and said, pay attention. Well, in the scene where Judah Ben-Hur meets Jesus in the desert, and then at the crucifixion, it was those two moments in the film that got me. And the Roman soldier that looked at Jesus and realized for a moment how ridiculous this whole thing is. He wouldn't give water to Judah. And the idea, of course, was that he would die in the desert of malnutrition and thirst. And this man, this very loving hand, came down and gave him water. Saved his life. That did it for me. I just cried. Here I am. My friends are all waiting for the chariot race, and I have tears pouring down my cheeks. I can't explain it. To this very day, I watch Ben-Hur once a year at Easter, and it still gets me. The compassion, the love, the tenderness of Jesus offering a mercy that I had never received before in my young life from my parents. And then at the crucifixion, where he turned the tables around and he gave Jesus the water while going up to Calvary. And that touch that Jesus had on his hand, how it basically went all the way down to healing his sister and his mother from leprosy a little later on in the movie. All of this had a tremendous effect on me. And to me, with all that being said, I went into deeper parts of Unity. I studied all of their books, and I understood the proportion of it. I knew what I was going to do with the rest of my life at about 11 or 12 years old. I knew I would be doing this, but I didn't know how it was all going to work out and how it would sustain itself. Well, make a long story short, lots of other stories involved in all of this. I went back, finished 2 years of college, and then I went back to Unity and became a Unity minister. Finished some more of my college there at KU, and that was it. I went out into the world. The thing that basically happened was Unity became the beginning of a part of me that was necessary, but it wasn't going to be the end all, because it got political, it got social, it turned into something very human for me, and I just couldn't do that. I wanted to go on and do the things, the greater works, as Jesus talked about it. So I tried to work on myself. I went to India after my ordination. That started a whole slew of problems with people, my colleagues, all of that. They thought I was crazy, but I am to a certain degree. But I still went, and I saw the authentic. I finally saw that touch that Jesus had with Ben-Hur. I finally realized what that was about. I took sannyas. I took the whole thing very seriously. There was a lot of things to work on in the old Gregory, and that's what I did, and that's what happened. And make a long story short, voila, here I am, 50 years later, over 50 years later, teaching and trying to serve humankind in the only way that I feel is helpful, that can really do something to change the ebb and flow of a person's life. So that's how it all happened in a quick version of it. Of course, there's a lot more detail to it, I could tell you, but I'm not going to bore you with that. I fulfilled my commitment to you. And so there you are. I hope it helped you. Please don't compare your life to mine. But one thing for sure, if you feel something very deep inside you, something beyond your ego, something even beyond your body, something beyond your thoughts, whatever you do in this world, follow it. with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. That's my advice to you, Kay, and to our listeners. I'm out of here. I'll go back to questions next week, and I hope that you will you'll find some help in all of this, some insight. If you have a question that's burning inside you, my email is greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me. Namaste.